Okay, so next up is Peter Sievers from Juniper, and he's going to show you how to get data out of a device in a vendor-neutral way. Have fun. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Peter Sievers. I'm a system engineer for working with Juniper in Germany. My customer focus is service provider and carrier, and I think this topic is should be very interested. Because the modern way how to get, let's say, metrics out of your box should not be SNMP-based. It should be in another fashion. And I will go over some, data model-driven possibilities to get data out of the box. My talk is divided into two parts. First, a little bit more of theory. I don't know if everyone here is aware of OpenConfig and, let's say, a modern art from RPC calls like gRPC, and is aware of telemetry data. And the second part is I've done a little bit research on the current BGP full table for version 4 and version 6, and I've done some analytics with mathematical models, and hopefully I've time enough to present what I've, find or not find, or how to, model data in a way that you maybe can predict future values or find anomalies in your routing information. That's a brief overview over the agenda. First, OpenConfig, then gRPC and protocol buffer. Then why it's important to have data models these days, because today still people sitting in front of the CLI, but even in machine-to-machine communication, in automation, you normally have APIs and you want to have interaction between systems without CLI interaction. You use mainly as a CLI for debugging purpose and not for configuring boxes these days anymore. If you do still so, maybe you should think about it a little bit. And after that, my example is based on open source software, the TickStack, Telegraph, InfluxDB, Chronograph and Capacitor. You can use whatever software you like. So the Prometheus community here could use Prometheus, and you could use Kafka message bus system as well. So it's only an example, no recommendation from my side. And after that, I will go over a little bit of a statistical model, how to find maybe anomalies or outliers within your metrics. OpenConfig. So OpenConfig is an initiative from network operators, from you, but not many of you are now within this operation group. So I see Telecom. Maybe the guy from Telecom can comment if he's involved in that project, and Malte from GoDaddy maybe. But in the beginning, Google was the main driver for this, and the idea is to have vendor-neutral data models. So today, for every vendor, you have to learn a language and have to integrate it in your NMS systems and in your OSS, BSS systems. And yeah, that costs a lot of money and took a lot of time. And if you want to change maybe the vendor from one vendor A to vendor B, it is even more complex and costs a lot of money. So therefore, the idea is to have independent vendor-neutral modeling languages, which is on the one hand for configuring the boxes, and on the other end for getting state information out of the box via RPC calls or via notifications, event notifications, for example. So as I mentioned before, it's very important to have these days programmatic interfaces on your boxes and to change your network very dynamically. So based on these needs, the data models has been defined by the OpenConfig initiative. So it is not that a vendor is in there in this group, so it's a community-driven effort, and it is aligned to the use cases they would like to implement. Next slide will show which, data models are available or has been defined by this community. And at the end, we as a vendor have to implement these models, or we don't have, but then they will not buy our boxes anymore. So we have an interest to implement these models, and there are different ways to implement, young models. If you have, as a vendor, data model-driven let's say, operating system, then it's not a big change in your internal architecture to adapt to OpenConfig models. Another thing is OpenConfig models are published on GitHub, so it's very fast. Maybe other than in the IETF, where also young models are defined, OpenConfig is very more up to speed in terms of defining the data models. As I mentioned before, this is public available on GitHub. It's a screenshot from what is available today. So you see the most important things are there. And to be honest, I think the very specific vendor knobs will never be in these data models be described. Therefore, it is, as I mentioned before, it's oriented at use cases and not by we are driving you in such a vendor lock-in case or something else. So if you see BGP is there, interfaces there, platform policy frameworks, so all the important stuff for inter-BGP routing and interfaces is defined, and it's also defined for configuration and for state, as I mentioned before. So in modern networks, when you interact with the network element, you check maybe via gRPC, which I will explain later on, if the configuration is properly applied, and you get over the session the information, yes, IS number is correct, programmed, and so on. A quick example, so the problem statement, or what's the problem today, you have different vendor CLIs, like here, and you configure the AS number in four different ways. So each vendor has his individual configuration and command syntax. And as I mentioned before, NMS Systems has to adapt to all these models. You have to integrate them. And maybe if you change from one version on a vendor to a, let's say, kindly newer operating system version, maybe it changed within a vendor itself that the configuration statement is done in another way. So the goal there is, if I use an OpenConfig data model, to have one statement for all these vendor boxes. You can see here a prefix called OpenConfig-BGP, and behind this you configure the AS number in the same fashion on all of these four vendor boxes, which will adapt or which have included the OpenConfig data models for BGP. So if you asked, maybe in an RFC or so, don't ask for generally open config support, ask for which models are supported. So that is important to you, not that is in general supported. So if you want to configure these or in these ways your boxes in the future. Because I'm from Juniper, I've done some examples, because it's not in the future that we will implement open young models for OpenConfig. We have implemented them. It depends on the Junos version, sure, you will use on your routers. As you can see in this example, we are adding a prefix before the configuration statement within the CLI, so that you can have in parallel the old way, our own data model and the OpenConfig data model on the same box. That's normally not a good idea to do so. So when you decide to go the way OpenConfig, you should use OpenConfig for every configuration statement which is available. Mixing things up could break the box, and that will break the internet, and that's not good. So as you see below, in our implementation, we use translation scripts. So we, at the end of the day, we will translate the OpenConfig context in our own data modeling language. And therefore, it was not a big deal. It's very flexible. But as I mentioned before, if you go both ways, it could end up in a bad situation in which you don't want to be in. Coming a little bit more to telemetry, because as I mentioned before, OpenConfig can be used to configure the box, to get states, but also for telemetry. Telemetry is out there now for some years, so it's maybe not new to you, maybe new to some of you. Telemetry means, therefore, I will not push or pull data via SNMP from your network elements. With telemetry, you push normally data out of the box, and every binary running on your router or switch or whatever you use is able to provide metrics. So maybe the line card itself is able to push out metrics. It's not over a central process running on the routing engine like SNMP, which collects data and then will be polled by a cron job from your analytics system. So pushing is more the way telemetry works, and it's definitely scales better than pulling with SNMP. I think you all will agree on that. If you have thousands of interfaces in your router or sub-interfaces, it could be a problem to run every 5 minutes through this whole getting metrics out of the box, and you have leaking metrics data within your database and all that kind of problems. So with telemetry, we will do things in another way. And with OpenConfig telemetry, it comes on top, the data model-driven way to do modern, programming and getting state out of the box. Data model-driven because I model the RPC call and the information within a young data model file, how to get to which data out of the box. If I consume all this data, or I have it's a client-server connection with OpenConfig using gRPC, as seen below. gRPC I will explain on the next slides. The server will push to the subscriber. The subscriber is a client software which has subscribed to the router and subscribed for, let's say, different sensor information. And this subscriber will get these sensor information out of the box. And then you have, if you will scale very high, you should use the message bus way, push out the information to the message bus system like Kafka, and there you could have on the Kafka bus more applications which are listening to these kind of metrics and maybe have an alarming based on metrics, SLR measurement, performance measurement, event notification. In my example later on, I'm using a time series based database directly. As I mentioned before, I've used InfluxDB, and I write from, let's say, the client directly the metrics to the time series database. And there you can use your Grafana dashboards, Chronograph dashboards, whatever you like, and build around this database your alarming or monitoring functions dashboards. So an example, how telemetry sensor is modeled with OpenConfig is this one. It's a JSON file. I've grabbed only the path information. There is the vendor path you can see here. And I'm subscribing for protocol BGP, a peer group, then a specific peer group upstream. So you can, it's a clear hierarchy. You can subscribe for all BGP messages. You can subscribe for a specific neighbor. It depends on what your client is interested in to get the telemetry data out of the box. And on the left side, you see an answer. I've converted it into JSON format. That's also possible. The streaming itself is normally in protocol buffer. And because it's faster on the line. So definitely it's binary encoding and faster than streaming with JSON or XML directly these data out of the box. You normally use these days protocol buffers for that. And if you would like to convert it into JSON, the client is able to convert it back to JSON. And there you see the IS number, which is configured, the local IS number, and which type. It's only a small snippet from what information you get out of these telemetry sensor paths I've configured here. And it should show you that it's not only to telemetry data like metrics, it's also what you have configured on the box. Therefore, I've given this example here. Furthermore, telemetry is able to pull large amounts of data close to real time, whatever real time is. Nevertheless, you should care about if you want to have 10 milliseconds or 30 milliseconds. But it's everything is better than SNMP, let's say like this. So, but depending on the count of interfaces you have in the system and the count of sensor information you subscribe to, you should have it in a good balance. Let's keep it like that. So there is no general rule of thumb where you say, hey, 10 seconds if I have 100 interfaces, but yeah, you have maybe do a proof of concept or try in your lab what the effect is on the router. The CPU footprint is very small with gRPC and a protocol buffer, which you will see later on in the next slides. Just another example, we can go quickly over it, where you see some other information. Here is the metric received prefixes, which I use later on in my, let's say, more practical example when I export this information to the Influx database and use it for statistical analytics. So therefore, I've mentioned it again here. But you see also send prefix and installed. You can see it's not so bad to have these both metrics. So the first operation could be, oh, I've received such prefixes and I've installed only the half of these prefixes. What's wrong? Or can deeper look into why you have only installed the half of the prefixes into the FIP. So here's only one prefix missing, so it's working great and all are accepted because also if it's not accepted because of wrong next hop or whatever policy will force the BGP process to not accept these next hop, for example. Short overview over gRPC. gRPC, as the name might put you into the thinking that it comes from Google. Yeah, it comes from Google. The code name was StubbyRPC. These days, they deny that the G stands for Google. Therefore, on the GitHub page is, depending on the version which was announced, a different name for the G. So the G is a generic. It's a G. So, but RPC, the concept of RPC is quite long time well known, so it's nothing new, but new in this implementation is that we use for transport HTTP2. We have integrated security authentication with certificates and encryption with TLS integration, and the gRPC itself is layered and uses HTTP2. HTTP2 is interesting because it is able to have full duplex, allows full duplex bidirectional communication, which is other in HTTP 1.1, where it is, there you can use pipelining or WebSockets, but the issue with that, you can have still head of line blocking events, so you really not have a protocol which is full duplex working in bidirectional communication. With this bidirectional communication, it allows that the TCP connection, which is used to connect between the network element and the client, is able to stream, first of all, in both directions using the same TCP session, and bidirectional. So there is no need to wait for another, let's say, HTTP header to be processed. It can do binary streaming directly. So, and that is very important if you have, for example, as encoding protocol buffer, which is one layer on the layered RPC protocol design. The next layer is the mapping of the RPC call. I have later on an Wireshark screenshot where you can exactly see which layer is used for what and which RPC call. The interface description language defines what is in the services which are defined in the protocol buffer. I have a slide on the next. I have a next slide where you can see the service definitions here. It is for Junos, directly for our Junos routers, where we define the service openconfig telemetry and place a RPC command which subscribes to a specific RPC call. Mentioned there, maybe you also have heard of GNMI, because this is specific to Juniper. It looks a little bit different with Cisco and Arista. So the idea of openconfig is to have everything the same. So the next step would be GNMI, which is gRPC network management interface, to have the same RPC calls. The journal, it's normally subscribe, it's get data, it's set data, similar over all vendors. So that's the next, let's say, thing which will be implemented and will be implemented by us and other vendors to be compliant with that was what OpenConfig tries to achieve. You can see down there a .proto file which defines strings to numbers. And that's the idea of protocol buffers. Instead of transporting the string over the line, you transport the number. And therefore, you can serialize it very good. And therefore, protocol buffer allows the network processor on the line card directly to export these data in a very efficient way. So it's the size on the wire, as you see below, is minimal. It's far, far less than JSON or XML. So in future, you should consider definitely to use gRPC together with protocol buffer to communicate and get information out of your routers to be efficient. And yeah, you can scale very high with that kind of implementation. Also, protocol buffer is internally implemented and developed by Google. So it is not one-to-one bind to gRPC. You could also use, in theory, gRPC together with JSON or XML, but the best match is use protocol buffer. Data models, a short overview over data models. Because, as I mentioned in the beginning, data models are key for automation. If you are not able to get information out of a box, out of the box of the networking gear, without a good plan or a described model where to access data, how can I get these data out of the box, it will mess up in CLI screen scraping and all that kind of stuff you have done in the past. So the change is really use data models to interact with the box. These data models can be integrated in your NMS systems and could be integrated in other automation solutions which will interact later on with network devices. Therefore, data modeling is important. And Young is one of the, developed by the IETF and in the working group, let's see, NetMod working group. So it's in different versions available. It describes how you have to define these data models within a Young file. And as mentioned before, you configure state data and configuration data in the same modeling file. So it's not a separate file for, let's say, configuration data and state data, it's the same file. You can see later on an example where I've then written state data is normally a value you can read only, not write, and configuration data is readable and writable. Young models can be categorized by different entities who define them, IETF, as mentioned before. And in the IETF, you can think of Young models as a next generation of structured management interface. So that kind of, you know, from SNMP with MIPS and ASN1 notation, you move in the new world where it's a Young data model and it's not SNMP anymore. It's either NetConf then or gRPC. And IETF still defines Young models, OpenConfig defines Young model. We have vendor-specific Young models, and you as a customer can define your own data models. You can augment, deviate, import existing data models from OpenConfig, for example, and then you create or new container within the data models. You can also convert these data models files into an XML notation then called yin, therefore yin and yang, so both together, Young models converted to XML structured model. Definition, Young definition statement, you have a hierarchy, as I mentioned before, you have the grouping function, you can use inheritance there, so you can group something together and use the group in another file. You have containers, as you can see here, a container for BGP, and under the BGP context, you have global or neighbors or peer groups. That's similar to our way, how we configure in our data models today, BGP. And yeah, this is the hierarchy or a snippet from OpenConfig BGP for Young models. You also have leaves. Container itself has no, let's say, data value. A container has leaves under it or lists, but no data value itself. The data node leaf is defined by an identifier and has, for example, a mandatory attribute. You also have some different ways of data types available in Yang, all integer, float, boolean, all these kind of data types are available for Yang models. So if you would like to write your own models, go to maybe the GitHub site of OpenConfig, look at what's there and adapt. So I will skip a little bit because I'm short on time. I've mentioned Yang augmentation and deviation, so you can use a base schema from IETF, OpenConfig, or your custom, or a vendor custom, or your custom, and add new container leaves or descriptions. It's in a new file, so you edit not the existing file. You will define a new file. The namespace which you are using should be unique within your domain so that there is no collision with other vendors. Or as you have seen before with OpenConfig, there is always this prefix before or OC, and you should do it in the same fashion for if you define your own schemas. Example from this, an interesting tool is PyYang. PyYang validates Yang models. If you write really your own Yang model, you can validate it with this Python software. It's free available on GitHub available, and you can validate it against the RFC, which is written from the IETF, or you can also convert or show the structure in a tree format like you see below. So there's a tutorial available, so if you would like to go deeper in building your own Yang models, use this tutorial and keep on doing. Yang notation, there you can see where I've converted the OpenConfig BGP Yang with this parameter into, for this specific pass, into a XML output. So that's nothing more. This is a Wireshark output from gRPC communication. I will quickly show here. You see the headers, the stream information which will subscribe to the RPC call is here. TRMPT OpenConfig TRMPT subscribe request. So this is a client request towards the network element. You have different options given here, if it is encrypted and so on. So don't use no encryption in your network. I have used no encryption in my demo lab because it's okay, and then I can show you such things. But if you want to go live with gRPC, use encryption, please. Also, an example I've with the data data sent over the wire. So I've shown you the header that it is stream 3, and here you see data streams for stream 3. And the good thing is you don't have to repeat and wait like in REST and JSON to build the header and send the packet. You have once built the header for HTTP2, and after that you can send pure data out of the box. So no header waiting for building header and putting things together and bringing these out of the box. So it's very efficient, as mentioned before. TickStack. Example for Junos, we have a module, OpenConfig Telemetry module available for Telegraph. It's an example for a sensor for protocol BGP. 10 milliseconds is the frequency when I subscribe to this vendor. There is a configuration example, what you have to configure on your box. So you can define the TCP port on which the router should listen, and as mentioned before, I've used clear text here, but don't do that at home. Or you see then there is a TCP session, and it will keep one TCP session no matter how many sender you apply to or what you will do over this gRPC session. It will stay one TCP session, so no overhead in building new TCP sessions and sliding window effects and all that kind of stuff you don't like with TCP. And later on, you see when you subscribe to this sensor, there will be config pushed, which will activate the vendor configuration on the router. The format is GP Google Protocol Buffer, as explained before. This is for the daemon RPD. This is the daemon which is with Juniper routers responsible for routing information. And the configuration which is necessary is not put in the normal configuration tree. It is put in the ephemeral database, so there is no commit necessary to bring that live. In my example, I use capacitor. Capacitor, short words of that, if you have not worked with the TIC stack, is responsible for data processing and creates alerts and can do jobs. For example, I've done some, so the idea is I've exported the received routes into the influx database. I've now all received route there in a time frame from 10 milliseconds, so many, many values. And I run now some batch process to analyze these data and to calculate a model based on the historical data. So I run a Python script which analyzes the data and builds such called pickle files where the model or the data is described. And I use some two algorithms for that, the 3-sigma algorithm and one clustering algorithm, k-means, it's good first to have structured data so you can work very easily with these two algorithms to build the model based on the historical data. Only an example how it looks on capacitor if you would like to do it on your own there. So I definitely have to run through. I've mentioned these two algorithms now. An example, what does that mean if I say I calculate a model for the historical data? For example, here I've calculated pickle file. Pickle is if you have worked with with Python and some, let's say, machine learning stuff around Python, it is processing engine to process structured data frames. And in this example, you see the average. I've calculated an average for every hour for one day, and calculated the standard deviation from the average. Standard deviation, 3-sigma means standard deviation, 3, because 3 times the standard deviation. And the idea is to identify anomalies, because normally you have you have up and downs in your received routes, but sometimes it could be have an impact, sometimes not, so you will reduce the noise, let's call it like that, and you are only interested in what could be a normal with your route received route information. And therefore, I've done this calculation, calculated the standard deviation, and now the idea is to compare a new value in that specific time slot and compare it if it is in the 3-sigma, 3 times the standard deviation towards the mean. That is the idea. If it's in between, it's normal. If it's outside, it's abnormal. It's an anomaly. The same, only to visualize what does clustering mean. That is that's real data from the internet. As you can see here, we are roughly about, 769,000 before routes, and I've clustered k means. I built k clusters. K is the amount of clusters. I define it myself. I say I will have 3 clusters, and then I will calculate the cluster centroids. That can you also do with these nice Python images. And with the cluster centroids available, you will calculate an inter-cluster threshold and compare it again, so you will be maybe able to find anomalies within your data you have received for received routes. It's time. So it's for 1 hour, so that was an, can I go back? This is the time axis down there, but it's not in, it's in Unix timestamp, so. Normally you will take, that's very important if you think how to model or show historical data. Normally you will not take 1 day back, you will take 1 week back and aggregate these days because you have normally in your data some kind of seasonality or so. Even in BGP routing, there seems to be some kind of seasonality. In interface traffic, you definitely have. But therefore, you normally take not one time, you take more. So I will go over very fast. I have only 2 slides now at the end of the talk. Sorry, I have spend too much time on OpenConfig. The interesting part is the second part. Sorry for that. So if you are interested in what I've done with these kind of metrics and how to correlate or analyze it, we can have a talk later on. So that was everything from my side. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Peter.